Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Time to find out what the political junkie is thinking about this week. Welcome back, Ken. Good to talk to you again.
Oh, Carrie, you don't want to know what I'm thinking this week.
I do, but I do.
What I am thinking about is I wish I could eavesdrop on every Thanksgiving dinner table this week and hear what they're talking about politics.
If you have a question for Ken or you want to talk to him about how that Thanksgiving table conversation is going to sound, tweet it at me, at Carrie, K-E-R-R-I, NPR. Ken, I didn't see you parading past the cameras at that New Jersey golf club over the weekend where all the interviews are going on with the Trump team. What gives?
Well, I did put my name in, but
for secretary of
depression. No, I don't know. Look, I mean, it is interesting. It's almost like, you know, once upon a time, this used to be a behind the scenes vetting.
Yeah.
And we'd see, you know, we see who these, and now it's The Apprentice. Basically, it is. It's a reality TV show where these prospective cabinet appointees or administration appointees are paraded before the cameras. And look, the thought of Mitt Romney being Secretary of State to me is just beyond belief.
And why? Even if he, why? Tell me why.
Well, look, we know the contempt that Mitt Romney has for Donald Trump. And of course, if a president asks you to serve, more likely than not, you do say yes. But the thought, I mean, I've read this in the papers all weekend that if confirmed, if he becomes Secretary of State, Mitt Romney would have a moderating influence on the administration. Does anybody think that Mitt Romney would be an independent Secretary of State in a Trump administration that's going to be run by Steve Bannon and Reince Priebus and Mike Pence and Donald Trump? I mean, no, I don't. So I don't know if his name is just thrown out there to show that, you know, the old Rodney King, can we all get along? But the thought of Mitt Romney as Secretary of State is just beyond comprehension.
So you mentioned that.
Watch during this show, he nominates Mitt Romney as Secretary of State.
You mentioned the contempt that Mitt Romney had for Donald Trump. And here's just Mitt Romney gave a speech, I think it was in March. It was still during the primary season. And this is some of what he said about Trump in that speech.
Dishonesty is Donald Trump's hallmark. He claimed that he had spoken clearly and boldly against going into Iraq. Wrong. He spoke in favor of invading Iraq. He said he saw thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating 9/11. Wrong. He saw no such thing. He imagined it. He's not of the temperament of the kind of stable, thoughtful person we need as leader.
Why do you even, if you believe that, and I assume he still does, why would you even answer the call to come out to talk to him? I mean, Romney doesn't need the gig.
No, he doesn't. But I do think, though, that, I mean, maybe perhaps in the wake of this, in the aftermath of this unbelievably contested and ugly presidential campaign, that maybe there's a feeling out there that maybe our voices can be lowered. Now, of course, that hasn't happened, and it won't be happening as long as Donald Trump is still allowed to be tweeting at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I just suspect that if the president calls, come out here, I'd like to meet you. Mitt Romney, if nothing else, he's a patriot. And I think that's what he does. And that's why he came out to Bedminster. This is all in front of his Donald Trump's golf resort.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I mean, the thought of how he's combining his business interests as he's trying to assemble a new administration, a new cabinet, again, unprecedented is the word that just jumps out at me.
So you probably read those reports, Ken, that Ivanka, his daughter, who has her own commercial concerns within and without of the Trump empire, was sitting in on some of these meetings. What with the leadership of India or what was Japan?
And the prime minister of Japan. And these business partners that Donald Trump has in India, when they came to the New York to meet with the president-elect, she was in those meetings as well. The thought of her being walled off from policy, I mean, the confluence of policy and politics in this administration. We talked about the Clinton Foundation, the crooked Hillary, the play for pay kind of charges leveled against Hillary Clinton. This is exactly what we're seeing, at least in these early days.
Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, that is a name that we have that has been attached to a pretty important position. Can he be confirmed? Do you have any question about what those?
Well, I mean, you could always say that as a member of the club, you know, he's certain to be confirmed, and then you go back to John Tower in 1989. Of course, then it was a Democratic Senate, but John Tower was President George H.W. Bush's choice for Secretary of Defense, and Tower, because of his ties to lobbyists, because of allegations about womanizing and drinking, not that the members of the Senate are not known for womanizing and drinking, but John Tower was rejected by the Senate, which was pretty remarkable, and I suspect, though, with a Republican Senate, it's not going to happen. But there are concerns. And we all know that, you know, in 1986, 30 years ago, Jeff Sessions was rejected by the Republican Senate for a federal judgeship
right.
that President Reagan nominated him for because of past racially insensitive, shall we say, statements. But look, I mean, as people have pointed out on Facebook and social media this week, Robert Byrd went from a Klan leader to the Democratic leader in the Senate, and people forgave him. Not that I'm comparing Jeff Sessions to a former member of the Klan, but Jeff Sessions is not the kind of firebrand. He's conservative, but I don't think I have not heard a racially insensitive comment from him since that controversy of 30 years ago.
We should note, Ken, that so far this has been a rather homogenous series of appointments and interviews.
It is. It's white, middle-aged men, and very, but even more important than their racial component, but very, very, very conservative. Now, that's not a big deal. I mean, if you're a liberal, you say, well, I can't believe he has a conservative administration. But the question about Donald Trump among conservatives all along has been whether he's a true conservative, whether he's just saying that because it sounds good and he has no ideological identity. Clearly, in the names we've seen come out in the past couple of weeks, or at least in the week since the election, was it only a week ago? 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
You're losing track of time and space here, Ken.
You know, I'm losing track of reality is what it is. But these have been very, very conservative choices, and that's what the conservatives like.
Nicole says to your dinner table question, good dinner table advice from the church this weekend. Even if you disagree, try, you may be right.
I guess that would have been the... That probably would have been the conversation at the Hamilton in New York where Mike Pence showed up. And you know something, Mike Pence, to his credit, said, look, you know, this is a free country. As far as I know, if they want to boo me, they want to boo me. Of course, it wasn't the cast that booed him. He may have gotten a lecture from the cast. It was the audience that booed Mike Pence. But Pence didn't care about that at all. He said, look, you know, these things happen. It was Donald Trump, really, who got so angry and said he deserves an apology. And, you know, because Donald Trump feels very strongly about people who are unfairly maligned, and he would never criticize somebody like that.
Yeah, I thought Pence actually handled that well. So he gets the boos from the audience, and at the end, the guy that plays Aaron Burr steps forward and lectures him, and he handled it. I'd say maturely, right?
But that is Mike Pence. He's probably the most conservative governor in the country. Probably the most restrictive, anti-gay, maybe even anti-feminist governor in the country. But by all accounts, he's a good guy, a decent guy. Not that that changes anything. But I mean, he's not somebody. He's not somebody who just carries a grudge and is just mean when he deals with his opponents.
Ken Rudin and I want to hear what your Thanksgiving dinner table conversation is going to be like when the topic turns to politics. You can tweet us at @KerryMPR. Here's your mystery sound of the week, Ken. Listen.
You're bringing up an organization that we've said, hey, that's a disgusting organization. We have no ties to them. This is really shows or demonstrates a real poor judgment on Hillary Clinton's part to choose somebody to try to take on this women's issue, which I think was a really stupid decision on her part. Donald Trump is not picking somebody for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is picking somebody for this country.
And Donald Trump picked him. Who is that man, Ken?
Is it Reince Priebus? I don't. I'm not
it's
getting
Michael,
who he is.
Michael Flynn.
Oh, it's Michael. Michael Flynn, of course, is President-elect Trump's choice for national security advisor.
Right.
Who has gone? You know, he's a Democrat, and people say, "Wow, he's picking a Democrat." He's obviously opening up the administration. But Michael Flynn was a very strong, almost rabid anti-Hillary Clinton, anti-Barack Obama military guy, a former lieutenant general, retired lieutenant general, who has been Trump's closest ally in the military community. And it's interesting, between Michael Flynn, the national security advisor, and the possibility of James Mattis, who would be the next Secretary of Defense. I mean, he's also a retired general. Now, Mattis is a very respected former Marine Corps general. But since when do they pick military men to run the Department of Defense? That hasn't happened since, George Marshall in the early 1950s. Usually you have a civilian running the Defense Department, and you can have a retired general. So.
Well, what are the implications of that to you, Ken?
Well, here's what it really is that people like Michael Flynn, who have very strong opinions about how to fight ISIS and how to fight radical Islamist behavior, which is what Michael Flynn always talks about, they seemingly will have free rein in doing what they want to do, because it seems like Trump has almost picked very strong people to do this kind of policy, because Trump has never really shown an inkling or an understanding of getting down in the dirt and working these things out. So I kind of think that Michael Flynn, the new head of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, the former congressman from Kansas, and others, maybe even Jeff Sessions, would not so much have free reign, but they're going to be very, very strong cabinets led by very, very strong individuals.
Political Junkie is with us. If you have a question for him, or you want to tell us what your Thanksgiving Day conversation is going to be like around the table, you can tweet me at @CarrieMPR. Rob is scolding us, Ken. He says the cast of Hamilton did not lecture Pence. They made an aspirational statement of unity. Media loves exaggeration for drama. Looked like a lecture to me.
No, actually, I kind of agree with Rob. I kind of think it was like, look, this is what we hope for in the country. This is what we believe in. Let's hope that
Ken, does anybody believe that if Hillary Clinton had won and had been sitting in that audience, she would have gotten the same treatment from the cast? No.
True. But of course, we also saw the spectacle of a member of Congress yelling out "You lie" at a State of the Union address. So we have seen 8 years of people yelling out, screaming out, disrespecting President Obama. The thought of the cast of Hamilton, a theater cast, giving a lecture, whatever you want to call it, to Mike Pence is hardly different than what we've seen for the last 8 years.
I want to ask you about the Democrats real quick here, Ken, the next couple minutes. Keith Ellison for DNC chair, a Minnesota congressman, is feeling a little bit of pushback from some members of the caucus. What do you think will happen with that?
I think he's the guy. You know, I had Howard Dean on my Political Junkie show last week talking about, and Howard Dean is a possible candidate to return to the DNC. But I think the front runner is Keith Ellison. He's been endorsed by Bernie Sanders and Harry Reid and Elizabeth Warren, Chuck Schumer, many top members of the Democratic Party. He is one of two Muslim members of Congress. And I kind of think that you almost think that Donald Trump is almost rooting for Keith Ellison because it could be us against the Muslims. You don't know if that's a possibility. But Ellison is smart. He's a progressive. He might unite the Democratic Party. But right now, I haven't seen much unity in the Democratic Party since the election.
And I want to ask you about Tim Ryan, congressman from Ohio, taking on Nancy Pelosi. I mean, it does look like she's going to hang on to her job. What's the significance, though, of getting a challenge from someone like Tim Ryan?
Well, Tim Ryan, who's a middle-class Democrat from Youngstown, Ohio, makes the point that Nancy Pelosi, who's 76 years old, comes from the liberal elite San Francisco, is basically forgotten what the Democratic Party stands for. And that's the criticism of the Democrats in the wake of the election, that middle-class, working-class Democrats were ignored. And Tim Ryan, the congressman, who's probably not going to win, no Democratic leader in Congress has ever been successful successfully challenged within the party like that, but he's making the point that there is a large segment of the Democratic Party that's being ignored, and that's why he's running.
Audrey says on Twitter, for Ken, holiday conversation, pass the ocean spray cranberries. That's what it'll sound like at her table.
America fails to realize that ocean spray cranberry sauce is so excellent. How do they make that with those ridges and it comes out like that? It's fantastic.
What's Otto going to be eating for Thanksgiving, Ken?
Whatever he wants.
Ah, yes, that's the right answer. Hey, good to chat. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Kerry. To you too and your family.
Thank you. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, back with us at 10 o'clock on next Monday.